Hello, friends. How are you all? I am Vex from the C-Support Media Group. I'm going to keep calling it the Media Group because I like how it sounds.
Okay.
But
you didn't even say C. Did you say C-Support?
You
yes,
did,
no, C-Support Media Group. This is the Nerd Stuff podcast, the show that we talk about esports and nerd stuff.
So we're a Media Group because you like the sound.
Yeah, because I like how it sounds, man. Like, you like how it sounds? C-Support Media Group. I'm going to keep making it.
And it's like
every time.
It's professional. It's professional sounding, right?
But why? We are called C-Sport, and we create media, and we're
a group. Yeah, exactly.
It's
would you prefer C-Sport Media Limited?
What's limited?
Limited is like a partnership or a company which is it's limited in some form.
Incorporation.
Incorporated.
we're getting sidetracked.
Of course. This is Index. Hello, everybody. We are using a new audio format in which we all have our own mics. Very fantastic, I think. I am with my friends here. They also have their own mics. I have Scron.
Hello,
Scron. How are you?
Hey, man. Except Red. He's using a...
Oh, I'm using the old mic.
No, he's using actually a boom mic that he's trying to hog for himself.
Yes. Please. This is mine. This is my space.
Yes, please. Just contain it.
Yes. This is my space.
Okay, so lots to talk about today, friends. What are we gonna talk about? Please move into the topics, please. A lot to talk about, lots in the esports news. You know, we usually started off with some Dota 2, but today we're gonna start it off with some Smash.
Yeah.
You know, Smash Summit 9. I really like the Summit style of tournaments. Oh, he kicked the table. Don't you like the Summit?
Yeah, it's like kinda intimate. Right? And it's really comfy. You could feel it's a homey
yeah.
vibe, yeah.
It's always been the thing about BTS.
I like it. But I don't really feel like it's the homey feel anymore because they got the new studio. It's like a nice big studio.
But still, seeing all your like favorite players in one roof, it's kinda nice.
Yeah. They
and they don't rely on ticket sales.
Mm.
Yeah. They do heavily get sponsored.
Yeah.
You could see it all over the freaking room, right?
Yeah. That's nice. That's a nice business
model.
It's fantastic. So Smash Summit 9 ended and HBox won.
Hey.
Very good. Thanks to
Team Liquid.
Thank Team Liquid, of course. Scron's
mother team.
I don't know if you still like the Dota team though.
I still like the brand.
Okay. That's fair. And the reason why it's so controversial is because HBox had some choice words for Nintendo. He said that, yo, Nintendo, just like, can you like sponsor your esports scene? And that's the thing, right? Like, if you think about a Dota 2, it was a community-grown
event,
professional scene as well when it started. And fighting games have always had this feel that they're very grassroots, right? Like, even the biggest ones, like Tekken.
Yeah.
They're also feeling like Evo is still a very grassroots thing, and Nintendo's not putting any money into it, so you can see the frustrations, maybe.
Yeah, you could have like tournaments, even sponsored by Nintendo. Just give them equipments, or just put Nintendo's name.
Yeah.
Put a bit of money, because if you see Capcom does somehow put some money into games in Street Fighter, for example. So I don't know who would budge. Would Nintendo budge because a pro player like called it out?
And I would like look to Scron here because he's the guy, the FGC guy here.
That's true.
It's not that Nintendo is not budging. They recently budged with their Pokemon.
Well, yeah, they shelled out, right? Because we got to talking to the Pokemon guys, and they seem to be game with Pokemon.
Yeah, Nintendo is pretty game with their Pokemon, but the thing is, Pokemon is very separate. Feels, I don't know how their company structure is, but it feels very separate from Nintendo. They have the Pokemon company, even though it's technically a Nintendo affiliate.
It's Game Freak.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they're budging with their Sword and Shield. They're doing competitive with it. But for Smash, it's purely Nintendo. So I'm not exactly sure.
And it's not the first time, too, that Nintendo's been very notorious for you know, not giving the customers what they want. Like, especially like the online for any Nintendo console is just terrible.
Mm.
You know, Switch, I know we all have Switches. Well, two of us use our Switches. Sorry, Scratch.
I used mine recently.
Well, yeah.
For Fallout Shelter.
Cause
no,
you,
Octopath.
You have Octopath.
All right.
Right? Erica gave her Octopath. Hey. Nice. How are you enjoying Octopath?
It's fun. I like how fluid the story is.
It is. I played like an hour or two.
Oh, the demo?
Yeah, no, not the demo. I borrowed the copy, so it's nice. Should try it.
Yeah. So yeah, back to Nintendo. You think? Who do you think is gonna give here? Like, is Nintendo gonna budge or anything?
Nah.
Nah.
I don't think so.
Nah.
It's not on Nintendo's best interest, because even when there's a lot of players or competitive players for Smash, I'm not sure it is worth the effort for Nintendo. Because in Japan alone, even though they have a lot of competitive Smash, Nintendo doesn't even budge. So, even with that.
I think it's because of the law. There's a law in Japan that you can't give up cash prizes.
Mm-hmm.
You
can
only give goods, right?
But you
like in Dota, right?
You have to, there's a lot of hoops, I think.
Mm.
And Nintendo's pretty powerful enough to go through those hoops.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, like, why do you want to, like, make a thriving esports scene anyway? It's like to sell your game.
But,
yeah, but the game's already selling.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's the thing, right?
That's why Nintendo isn't budging, because they don't need the esport to, like, sell the games.
It's not
easy money.
And that's the reason why games like Dota 2, which is free-to-play, and very recently Counter-Strike 2, they want to grow their player base, because that player base is gonna buy, you know, stuff from them.
Loot,
like the
boxes.
Loot boxes.
And Nintendo doesn't need it.
Mm.
They just sell the game and it's there. DLC every now and then, but that's
yeah.
basically it.
If you sell the game itself, you're already a customer.
Yeah.
Mm.
So they don't really need new players.
Mm.
Well, they need new players to buy them, but they don't need competitive players.
Yeah.
Did they make this kind of games with esports in mind?
I don't think so. Smash for me has always been made as a party game.
Party game, right? And it's just coincidental that Smash became an esports hit. It's always been a party game.
Something died in our setup.
Nah, it's fine.
We're panicking.
We are
internally panicking.
Yes. We are hoping that Erica, our sound.
Origin installer, yes, no.
No.
God damn it, Origin.
Always.
Oh my god, Origin.
Origin.
Yeah, I said, because we're using a multi-screen setup wherein we have our audio on the other side, like someone's picking it up. Again, we're using a new setup.
Yes.
Yeah.
So our screen went blanked, and apparently Origin decided
to install
it. Install itself.
Oh,
well, yeah,
god.
So like when your question was the game built for esports?
Mm.
And the first game that popped into my mind that was really pushed as an esport game is Overwatch. And
yeah.
we all know what happened to Overwatch.
Died.
Dead in the world.
It's big in the West. It's still pretty big in the West.
The esports scene?
The esports has pretty decent viewership for Western viewers.
Bruh.
But it's
the decline. You could
it's,
even...
It's not that. Because there are reports of inflation.
Oh.
Bots.
Damn it.
I mean, it's still... what do you call that? It's allegedly...
Mm.
It's allegedly, so we can't really discount it. Until it's been proven that it's true, then we can't really say that they're botting.
They're botting, yeah.
So, for now, what we can conclude is, based on the data that we have right now,
they're
is
still
they
view.
Are
they
big
still
in the West.
Mm.
Just in the West. They're not
just
even
the
big in China.
Mm.
And they're even Japan, they're not that big in Japan as well. I mean, they're bigger than Dota or whatever. They're not
Dota
that
is dead.
Oh god.
Dota is also in a slow decline.
Yes.
Dota is dead in the West. That's very different. Well, Dota's dead in NA, basically.
Yes.
It's thriving in CIS, EU, and Southeast Asia.
And you know what's not dead?
What's not dead?
Super Smash Melee.
Well, that's I think Melee is just an enigma. You know, it's the game's like over 15 years old or something like that, and the meta is still developing, which is kind of crazy. That's how good the
game is.
I mean, balance-wise, that's how good it is. All right, so what's next? I can't see, actually, very well.
Okay, Sixth Invitational 2020. So
yes.
Sixth Invitational, the recently concluded event for Rainbow Six, Ubisoft's title, esports title, rather. So it was held in Montreal, home of the Ubisoft studio. Then the event marks the end of the previous years and acts as an informal World Cup for Rainbow Six. So this is basically their TI, their Worlds,
their
World Cup.
The biggest tournament.
I like how you stopped at like Worlds and like TI, and then like CSGO is nothing.
CSGO is major.
Yeah, but like I wish there was like
there's
a
main event, right?
Event for
what would you call it?
For CSGO.
I think it should be in Katowice.
Yeah.
The cathedral for CSGO. And it should be called, I don't know, you guys let us know.
So either way, it was Space Storm Gaming who took the 1 million or 33%.
Space Station Gaming.
33% of the total prize pool, which resulted into $1 million USD for Space Storm Gaming. Second place is NIP. Third is TSM. And fourth is BTS. Thoughts on R6? It's fun. It's fresh. I got my brother to play it.
Oh, really?
Wow.
So he's been trying to grind his way. So he didn't make the mistake of not buying the deluxe.
You should have bought the deluxe.
Yes.
Sure.
I didn't get the deluxe. I got the regular. Because it's like, oh, it's like discounted.
Mm.
Well, deluxe was like only $3 more, $4
yeah.
more. So
but
I
you
should,
went the cheap route.
For those that are listening in, if you're planning to get R6, definitely get the deluxe. It'll save you so much in terms of effort, coins,
could feel,
and everything.
Yeah.
Could feel his emotions.
Yeah, because you have to grind for it.
Because
like here's the thing. I don't know you have.
Yeah,
I know you haven't played R6. You don't have any, in Dota terms, so you don't have any champions or heroes.
Okay.
Or when you start, you're basically start as a recruit. Then
I think it's
points.
Called operators, right?
Yeah, they're called operators in Rainbow Six. So you don't have any of that. You start off as a recruit, then you grind your way to 1,000 points, then you get one of the
how
1,
far
points.
Is it from point
I mean,
A to point
about
B?
About 5 games to get 1,000.
Yes, but
but some of the operators cost 10,000, 15,000, 25,000.
Just for an operator?
Yeah, just for one operator. So getting the deluxe allows you like
so it doesn't
unlock
mean
some of the 15,000, some of the 10,000. So basically saves you a lot of grind.
So it doesn't mean that if I get the first operator, that's like the best operator for the like starting, right?
No, the new ones are just cost more.
Okay.
They're more specialized too. Like in certain situations, they're godlike.
Mm.
But like I still think that
they're niche.
The basic operators are still.
Yeah.
You know, for like in general, you could get by
yeah.
like a basic op.
I think it's good. Like, we're getting too deep into it, but for me, it's good to have like a few basic operators.
Yeah.
Like you
then
have Twitch, you have
then
Saga,
you have,
you have Sledge, and the other ones that can do these jobs properly.
Then you have the specialized.
Then
ones.
You have a special, yeah, specialized guy
yes.
or girl to do a specific job you want for your strategy.
Yeah,
I see.
So that's about it for six. Again, it's. Good. Congratulations to Space Storm Gaming.
Hey, congrats. It's $1 million, man.
Yeah.
That's
and
a lot.
And the viewership was pretty nice, too. So,
like
moving on towards that, after they unveiled the Sixth Invitational, they also unveiled a new esports program or a format for R6.
Can you read more into this? I want to make sure, because from what I understand, my alarm has gone off, it sounds like.
So
that's your alarm?
Because I want to wake up peacefully, friend.
Okay.
So, from what I understand, this is a league system. It's like there's going to be a set number of teams. They're going to play in a set number of matches, and then the winner gets to represent the region. So, I think I like that because it allows more, you know,
stability.
The advertisers
okay.
are going to love that. And also, you mentioned it, stability for the teams. So, that's what I thought, but Have you read through the article yet?
Yes, it is. What I like about it is, again, it's good for sponsors because, for example, you have regional sponsors, right? So what's hard sometimes for these events is when they run on, let's say, when they run a major everything, when everyone is invited, like Dota or something. Dota doesn't need sponsors. Anything that needs sponsors, like Worlds or anything that's international, your sponsors has to be international as well. Because none of your sponsors, for example, no region what's regionally available sponsor you have. For example, Grab is really good in Southeast Asia.
Mm.
You can't really get Grab on an international stage because Grab will be like, "What will
sure.
we? Why are we paying so much for an international
yeah.
audience when we just want
the
Southeast
Asian
audience?"
Yeah.
Cool.
So that's something that's I think it's good for this in terms of the regional wise. It's good for those that are looking for sponsors.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy for viewers as well to conceptualize. But another thing is you have to have a good standing on all regions. And I think now that you're in the year 5 of Rainbow Six,
yeah.
I think they have a pretty good standing on all regions.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, recently, Southeast Asia has been stepping up. Our Southeast Asian, best Southeast Asian team has been poached, actually.
Oh, really?
Aerowolf is now signed by Vodafone Giants. They're a Spanish team.
Okay.
So they're not Asian anymore?
I haven't confirmed if they're going to play for the EU or the Southeast Asia, since this has just been unveiled.
Yeah.
So I don't really know.
Mm.
But they are now Vodafone Giants, all the players of Aerowolf.
Hey.
So that's something for us to tackle on next up. We'll update you guys with that.
Yeah.
So again, 4 regions for the new format. Pretty exciting stuff for R6. We'll dive deep into this probably on some news posts that we'll be posting on our social media. So, well, next up, another esports post. This time we're going back to MOBAs.
Hey!
MOBA.
Yeah, no more shooters for now for R6.
Well.
We're going to, well, not exactly a news about the game, but it's a news about an org taking in a player as a shareholder, stockholder. Yeah, the face basically of the organization has turned into a part-time owner.
He's a part owner.
So we're talking about Lee Faker Sang-hyuk.
I only own this every 2 hours. That's part-time.
Sang-yok.
Okay, so how do you pronounce this?
I'm gonna try my best not to butcher it. Sang-yok.
Sang-yok.
Just
Lee call him Faker.
Well,
Jesus.
I mean, you know, we're trying to. It's a new format. Well, you should try something else, like trying
and
to be.
I guess, because it's a professional news, because he became a business owner, right? So, yeah. So
part-time business.
Yeah.
Part-time.
You're not gonna tell people that, you know, it's
Faker owns the company,
Faker's
right? Yeah, you're right.
You're
so
Lee
Sang-yok
owns
the company.
Owner.
Yeah, that's true.
Mr. Lee. Isn't that a guy from
Mr. Lee?
So yeah, he will. So in other words, he's still playing. He's still playing for Tier 1. He's not retiring just yet.
Wait, you said Tier 1.
No, it's T1.
Yeah, you said Tier 1.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Oh, gosh.
You're getting ahead of yourself.
So, yeah, there's T1, SKT T1.
Yeah. I think they're like separate now, right? SKT T1. They're like, there's.
Oh, yes. I
yes,
think you
they
may
are.
Be right. You may be right.
There's T1, and they will be. Faker will assume a leadership role when he retires. For now, he's still on the.
Is this news for LOL? Because Dota, we know Dota 2 players owns.
I mean, when
teams,
he takes when he takes an ownership, he can basically kick all the Dota 2 players out.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
because this is a lot similar to the OG.
Yeah, the OG,
yeah.
The EG.
But OG started out as they made the org. So it's more of, I feel, a little the same when, who was that owner of EG and Alliance before?
Alex Garfield.
Aram's the
he sold. Well, it's
manager.
A little bit the same. Basically, he sold it to the players.
Mm.
So a little bit the same with that.
But the thing with this one is, with him playing as, you know, he is owner, right? So does that mean, how much power does he have over the team?
It's a part. We don't know the
role he'll be taking. All they said was he's taking on a leadership role. He can be a CEO of anything.
But
CEO.
He's owner. So
he has a big sway.
Over
he's a big sway, but you know, you can't really, you'll still be given a title, like a full-on title, like a chief of gaming officer,
operations,
or chief of marketing.
Yeah, that's how that's how the business side works. But I think Index is asking what what kind of power does he get from, like, because you can give him a position, right? But what does that entail? Does he own the company, like, for 50% shares?
I mean, we don't really know the numbers that he's been given. I don't think it's 50, because I'm pretty sure that's...
That's too much, right?
A lot. Yeah. 50 meaning he can basically, he just coerce one member, he can basically boot everyone out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So congrats to Mr. Lee.
What do you think about these guys,
like, owning
these players? You know, is it important for a player to have a part of the organization?
Depends on their skill set. I don't really know much about his skill set. I don't know what he graduated with. I don't know his educational background or even if he has prior work before T1. I know he started young at T1, so I don't think he had any prior work.
Mm-hmm.
Depends on what he specializes in. I mean, we haven't really looked at Faker closely or in depth to know. Apart from, we know he's a godlike player.
Yeah.
This kind of reminds me a lot of the Dendy situation, actually, because Dendy was the face of the
Na'Vi.
Well, not even just Na'Vi. Just like maybe for a few years, maybe like 2-3 years, he was the face of Dota 2.
Dota 2 in
China. TI1 to TI like 4, and even now, you can still feel the effects. You know, the Na'Vi effect that when it's Na'Vi, people are going to be watching. There's still a little bit of that. It used to be like if there was Na'Vi in your tournament, people would be watching. And you got to think that the Na'Vi would have given some shares to
Dendy. Yeah.
You know, and he doesn't have the skills. He just has the face for it. And obviously he left and all. So Faker is locked in for 3 years, right? What happens after?
I mean, he can choose to retire.
Yeah.
Yeah, he could choose to retire. Then maybe
then he'll be given
more...
like
administration.
If he chooses to stay.
Yeah, if he chooses
to
stay.
If he chooses to buy it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or he could just invest in another team if he was bought out.
That's
in the contract.
Gonna be so sucky for a team.
Because this is like for players buying into their orgs. It's smart because that means that they're thinking way ahead after their play. When they retire, they could like invest in some orgs, or they have the business acumen to invest in the future organizations that they could like be in, right?
Yeah, it's not like the Jerax thing, you know.
Oh yeah.
He retired, but he's not gonna be doing anything like in Dota anymore. He just decided he's done with Dota. He's gonna spend his money elsewhere, and I think that's. That's kind of similar to, because he has life after Dota.
Mm.
Like, you know, Faker, he's thinking
life after League.
Yeah. Professional play.
You have most people at life after Dota. You have Milk.
Milk?
In Optic, right?
No, he's 100 Thieves.
100 Thieves.
With
Nainshot. Okay, there you go. See? So you have people who still stayed in esports after their retirement. Then you have people like Merlini who took up. Went back studying programming.
Yes, I think he has a job now. It's the same thing with Ake. He has a computer. He has a software engineering thing now.
That's nice.
Yeah,
I didn't know.
He has a kid.
Oh, that's.
He made this kid like.
Oh, it's
terribly. What's a Dota one? Terribly.
Illidan.
Yeah.
Oh God.
He actually named him Illidan. It's a nice name.
That's a nice name. Yeah.
Sounds Swedish too.
Yeah.
It fits the bill.
Well. I'm going to name my first son Rexar, so it's nice.
That is not. That is absolutely a bad idea. I know there's been, you know, we're youngish.
Master.
We're youngish, but you know, like we're like
mid-twenties.
Right now.
I mean, if it was like 8 years ago, when I was still young and stupid, they would have said, "Yo, that's a cool name."
Obviously, like Philippines is like home to one of the young pregnancies, right? So like there are gonna be some kids, the computer shop kids, that would name their kids
like Riley or something.
Riley
like that,
or something stupid. Balanar. That's
Balanar. Oh god.
I mean, it's not gonna be Dota, it's gonna be Mobile Legends.
Oh
well,
my
now,
yeah,
it's gonna
that's
be Mobile
true
Legends. But like, you know, when we were still the guys in the computer cafes,
there are names that are acceptable, there are names that are nice,
such
yeah,
as
Riley is pretty okay as a name.
It's like a 4, man. It's still named out of a Dota 2 character.
Furion.
I mean, as long as it doesn't sound stupid as a Balanar
is crazy.
Or
that's too fishy.
Do you know Darkrow?
Oh yeah, Darkrow
is Enigma.
Darkrow.
Okay.
Darkrai.
You would know.
Yeah, I would know. Enigma.
What is the best real life Dota 2 name? We have
or
3
like
seconds.
Techies.
We have 3 seconds to think about it. 3, 2.
Techies?
I was thinking of Squee.
Squee, Spoon, and Spoon.
I have like triplets. What's the other guy?
Wait. How about Kale? Like Invoker, Kale.
Carl?
No, because
right? we're straying too far. Right? Like,
okay.
Too
I'm
far.
Sorry, Mr. Lee.
Sorry, Lee.
So we're done with.
We're done with Mr. Lee.
With T1 acquisition and everything.
Yeah.
And.
More on LOL.
More on LOL, another part of LOL. This time around, we're moving to the LCL, the League of Legends Continental League, which is, for those that don't follow League, it is the Russian League, or CIS League, as they call it in some others.
In PC culture,
yeah.
It's not the Russian League, it's a CIS League.
Yeah. So, yeah, Riot Games Russia has released a statement saying that the Vivictus Esports has had an unacceptable poor performance run.
Yes.
They have been booted out of the
LCL.
LCL and are now, but they can still climb up.
Yeah.
They can still climb up. They can.
They
go
just get
to,
demoted, right? It's like a demotion.
Mm. It's like a demotion. So they have to go to the opens basically and prove their worth again. So.
I mean, what makes this team special anyway?
I wouldn't call it special. It's just that, I mean, it's the first all-women team that made it to the LCL. Like, again, we're trying to put on diversity. I wouldn't call them special. They just managed to prove themselves to be a part of the LCL at one point, but now they have. Failed to do so because of their poor performance. They went 0-14
exactly.
Their last summer split.
And
so,
you don't want, like, you want other teams to that have a better shot than them to join, right? So it's better to just demote them than prove their worth.
I think we would agree that the, you know, inclusion does not have to, you know, deter quality.
True.
Just because you're a certain race or
a certain gender,
you get to get it for free. It's a free pass, right? So I like the move here that they make quality, you know? Because one, they preserve the, what do you call it?
Integrity?
Integrity of the game. There you go, integrity of the league. And then second, this may put like, you know, a fire under these ladies. Better. For sure, because we got humiliated.
Yeah.
We need to get better. We got demoted. So this is, we're gonna be proving some people wrong, and we're gonna be better.
Yeah, they're going to play with a chip on their shoulder.
Yeah, I like it.
Props to LCL.
Yep, very good. I like it. High five to you guys.
So yeah, the team that will be replacing them will be Team Crowd Crowd, an organization that has been competing since 2016. So yeah, that's something for them to
give them a shot.
Yeah, why not? I like it.
Next up, we're another MOBA.
Yes.
We play Tug of War. This has been a long time coming.
Grow Peru.
Yeah, this tournament has been a long time coming. I actually forgot it existed.
There was a lot of because there was another one. There was another We Play tournament.
No, Bukoville.
Yeah, that was Bukoville.
But Mad Moon has been, the qualifier has been done like way before,
months,
like
right?
Last June 2019.
That's long.
So
the teams would forget that they qualified.
Look at, like, when the Dire Asia started, like, see, it's like
May,
June
2019.
Isn't that like a bad investment as a team? I mean, as
production.
Not in production, as an organizer, because
bad planning.
No, it's not that. It's bad in a sense, like, okay, Navi is very strong today, but in like 8 months they may not be.
I think it's just it's just bad planning for them. Like I feel they wanted to execute it earlier. Is that they didn't have a shot for it.
Yeah.
So they've been given a shot with a minor. It was received well.
Yeah.
I guess they decided to proceed with the Mad Moon.
Yeah.
And everything. So it's $130,000 prize pool for the first place, trickling down to 60 and 30 for second and third respectively. The teams invited are Secret, Team Secret, Gambit, Enigma, Virtus Pro, NIP, B8, Infamous, and Aggressive Mode. So now, boys, what do you think?
Well, it's kind of surprising because this is, like, we have to know that this is not a minor nor a major. This is not part of the TPC.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like a side event. And we still get
big quality names, yeah.
Yeah. Enigma, of course, not really surprised. Sorry, he's <Scott.
laughs> Well, they're invited.
I mean, yeah, but they're not really surprised why they're invited. They've been pretty underperforming. And this is a nice chance for them to get their feet under them. They've been kind of slipping and sliding a little bit. And a lot of these teams are kind of like that, too.
Like VP?
VP, they need to get their feet under them as well. NIP, we're going to talk about NIP because they got eliminated by Aggressive Mode, which is the Lil stand. As you know, Lil is the Russian PPD.
Yeah.
PPD versus PPD, that's going to be some fireworks.
Yeah.
And
who's saltier than the other, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, yeah. Can we go down to the brackets, please?
Yeah, we already have the winner's finals.
Yes.
For this one, it should end by this weekend. So, meeting at the winner's finals is a VP and
Team
versus Team Secret.
So, I kind of wanted to go back a bit to the group stage. So, I thought NIP was eliminated in the playoffs, but it looks like they were eliminated in the group stage.
Mm.
I think their last game was against
Aggressive Mode. And that's
They lost. They got eliminated by them in the group stage. So yeah, guys, what y'all think about NIP? And the roster change gonna come soon because it just came.
They keep changing rosters.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know anymore. I don't know if it's PPD
yeah.
or it's just the competition.
Yeah, it's too big, especially in the region EU.
Mm.
Right? Mm. We talked about it the last time. Like, how many slots it should EU?
Give
roster
out,
roster, EU region. Get. So any closing remarks for NIP? You like them? You hate them?
They still have a shot. I mean,
I mean,
they have the resources for it too, as an organization.
Yeah.
NIP, my IP.
Okay, great, good job. PPD, go find another team. Come crawling back to
NA. Exactly.
Okay.
Oh no, we've been there. But this is kind of nice to see, like, Team Secret coming here. This is a tier one team. You know?
Yeah.
They're just playing
about
around.
Second in DGC.
Who's number one?
I think still TNC.
Are they?
Really?
The people have won majors after.
I'm not sure anymore.
We can check later. After.
Because Secret won the recent one, right?
Oh, what did they win?
The recent major.
What is that? Oh my God.
Leipzig.
Lives big.
Yeah.
PPC points. Who's leading? Thanks. This is very intuitive.
Very helpful.
It's very intuitive.
Very,
there you go. Rankings,
very
right?
Helpful.
Well, we're actually looking at the DPC.
It's TNC.
Wow. Crazy.
And second, VG Gaming.
Yeah.
Wow.
So the golds are what they won. So who has won the other ones? Why are there no golds? Okay. Secret has won one.
Mm-hmm.
And TNC won one.
Mm.
Has there only been two majors? It looks like.
I don't think it's updated.
Okay. Well, it looks like I can only see two golds. So I guess that's
it.
Those are guys. How's EG doing?
They're fourth.
That's good.
Yeah.
They got bronze, silver, and then last place finish. Is that last place finish or first round exit? A second round exit.
This one?
Yeah. It looks
these
like
are minors.
No, they're still going. Because it says active in tournaments. So.
Ah, I see. It's the ESL major. Ah, they all get base 100.
Oh, for the LA.
Qualifying.
Oh. Okay. Oh, shout out to Ari.
Oh, Ari, yeah. ESL LA.
Let's go.
Let's find the LA.
You know what? I was walking at the mall here in Makati. And I saw Ari. And I said, like, Ari. And his team was like, hey, man. What's up? Then he gave me a high five and I'm like, hey, congrats on the LA thing. And then he rambled on for like 5 straight minutes about what he was going to do. He's talking to Slack.
He's so excited.
He's so excited about it.
The reason I think that he went off like that for 5 minutes is because I don't think he has any...
anybody to talk to. Yeah, exactly.
I was like, okay, Ari, yeah, that's fun. I was kind of having fun
he's
talking
gonna go.
About it, but he's like, he's more enthusiastic towards me. So,
he's just happy that he gets to talk to somebody with like,
esports. And I told him, like, oh, we have a studio there. Like, if you want to make some content.
Hey!
Ari, if you're listening to this.
Hey! I doubt he's going to listen to this.
Yes, Ron, you're friends with Ari?
Yeah, I mean, he's going to stream again. It's his it's his pre-event thing.
He's going to ask questions and shit.
Yeah, he's going to play with us.
Man, the memes! What would be the meme?
I hope he gets it.
I'm so excited.
Either way, going back again to to the Mad Moon.
Mm.
So next up on elimination is a aggressive mode Enigma.
Just if we're talking strictly quality of teams, obviously Enigma's.
Obviously but Enigma, but we've been proven wrong before.
Yeah, Ron, Scron has
they lost to B8.
No. They lost
the secret.
Oh, they lost the secret. Okay, I got it wrong.
Yeah. It's secret, so it's understandable. And they got a game, so.
Secret has always been their kryptonite.
I mean,
they always
everybody's
kryptonite.
Everybody's kryptonite, exactly.
But the thing about, even before their Team Liquid iteration, they always lose to Secret.
Or OG,
they win,
right?
During TI.
Mm.
They win against Secret during TI.
Secret is like a pit bull in DPC events prior to international, then in TI they just become a freaking shih tzu.
I think they may actually
win the TI.
Big shot at winning TI. They've been consistent for so long. It's just a matter of time, you know. They
also
get three chances.
Also, there's no Ana to stop them.
True. No Seb, no Ana.
No Ana that will suddenly come out of open qualifier.
Yeah. So this TI is gonna be pretty interesting. I'm pretty hyped. Pretty hyped. Okay, so yeah, this tournament is gonna end in a few days. Secret's probably gonna run away with it, if not, like maybe Enigma.
Who's your favorite?
We'll talk about the results next week.
Yeah,
we'll talk about it next week with the same audio setup.
Hey,
so
even better
next time.
We're closing our doors on that one and moving on to the next, which is.
Oh, hold on! Before we get to the main topic.
No, the Batman.
Okay, let's talk about Batman first. Then I have something else.
Alright.
I didn't write it down.
This is next stuff.
There have been leaked images. We'll post it as a comment when we post the podcast, most probably.
Yes.
So, leaked images of Pattinson, a clear image of Pattinson in Robert Pattinson in the Batman suit. Doesn't have a cape, though. That's everyone first noticed.
Because that's one of the things that have been, you know,
iconic
for Batman.
Yeah.
The big cape.
Yeah,
that's
how
he
plays. Shadows. The lurking into the shadows.
Yeah.
Kids. But for this one, I think it's okay. They're kind of doing
nice.
The year one,
it's nice.
The Batman year one design. I think
yeah.
It lacks the overall brown leather things.
Mm. Is that a gun? No, it's not a gun. That's not a gun.
Yeah, so
Batman doesn't.
We'll
have
post
gun.
A photo there. Or so initial reactions, guys.
Okay, I'm gonna focus on the kind of the armor.
Mm.
Because it kind of looks kind of medieval.
Mm.
Honestly, those shoulder pads are kind of like shoulder pads.
The arm, the guards.
Yeah, and these gauntlets are kind of
sick.
Medieval-y. They're kind of, you know, you kind of see the theme where they wanted to go with this.
And it's very dark.
Mm.
It's a very black, little to no contrast.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah, it usually is. There's some contrast.
The gray.
The
yellows or something, or the gray.
The icon.
Mm.
Yeah, and
Bat
even
icon.
even in the comics, he's just mostly gray.
Mm-hmm.
Gray and blue, right? Dark, the blues?
No, they turned it black with the new one, so it's gray and black.
So it's just not all black, right? Like,
yeah.
There's literally just, it's like a black,
yeah.
Everything.
And
the
motorcycle, it's not the soup up one, like the Christian Bale ones.
Yeah.
It's not the the futuristic looking one.
Yeah.
So that's why I've been saying to myself that this may probably be year one because everything seems to be grounded.
Mm-hmm. Well, which is good for you or bad?
It's good. It's
yeah.
It's a good setup as well. And I think it's nice to see Batman done when he wasn't
Batman,
the perfect
Batman.
Crime fighter that he was.
Mm.
I think it's nice to see a flawed Batman.
Mm. So I'm excited, actually, for this Batman.
Yeah.
I think I may see this in the theaters, but not like week one. Maybe like week three.
Wait for the reviews. Stuff.
I mean, I'm going to see it regardless.
Mm.
You know, I'm not going to have high hopes for this Batman thing anyway. So I'm just going in pure curiosity. Would you guys watch it on the cinemas?
I will. I'll definitely watch this one in the cinemas.
Mm. Yo, Erica, you have to watch Batman withdrawn.
And she looks.
Okay, maybe she doesn't like the Batman. You like Batman, Erica?
You like men,
man.
Erica? Oh no.
Okay, I guess Ron's an anomaly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good.
Because Ron's not a man. He's a boy.
He's my.
He's
boy.
A. I'm
he's
a boy
our boy.
In a man's clothing.
Yay.
Yes. Okay, so before we enter the hard hitting,
enter the dragons.
I want to talk about Animal Crossing.
Hey,
Animal Crossing.
It's a surprise.
We talked about it last week.
No, we didn't because it was a direct.
There was a direct
between last week and this week. Is very fun. I take it you haven't seen the direct.
Yeah, it's so high.
So Animal Crossing coming to the Switch. It's coming March 20.
Yeah.
And there's already some pre-orders for the game itself and the incoming
bundle
for the Switch and the game. So are you swelling your Switch or the
man, it's so tempting, but I won't. Well, my answer right now is I won't, but I don't know.
Yeah, those things are gonna sell like hotcakes.
Yeah,
if you make a decision now, this is gone.
It's so nice. It's the white dock, the island.
The white
dock. I still don't have a case.
Man,
what you don't have a case for your Switch?
No.
Oh my god,
do you still bring it around just like raw dog?
Just grab it and go.
Oh my god. No case.
Protect it.
Going to the inside the direct.
The bundle first.
Okay, the bundle. Bundle's nice. Like the Joy-Cons, the white dock.
What's the best thing that you like about the
white dock, dude?
White dock.
Jesus Christ, so nice. Mm. And if you're creative and shit, you could even draw in the dock.
That's true. I just like the Joy-Cons, but I'm kind of still turned off that the quality of the Joy-Cons still haven't improved on the Switch. So, yeah, I like the etching at the back of the Switch, too. I think it's like etched, like you can feel it. When you run your fingers through it, you're going to feel
it's
it.
Like embed.
Yes,
in it.
So, the Direct.
Oh, man. This game.
This game's pretty good, right?
This game is fat.
It's thick.
It's thick.
The base game itself is pretty big. It's pretty expansive on its own. You know, and
they keep saying that the updates will be free, so they would like in the future updates they would add more.
I'm not talking about the updates itself, too.
Yeah.
I'm just talking about the base.
Just the base game is so
like how many players can you have in your island? Like
eight. Yeah.
And you can have save states as well. Like if you have a character in the same saves in the same Switch, they can join you in the island.
Using you could also use like Joy-Cons local play, right?
Yeah, four people.
That's nice.
I wonder because they didn't really touch on it, but I wonder what local multiplayer looks like.
Like a split screen or just one screen? I think
it's
one screen. Because they said it's a one leader, then three followers, right?
No, I mean like me. I have a Switch. You have a Switch.
Oh, local play.
Local multiplayer. I don't know because
they didn't tell
that a lot. Did they in the direct?
No, they didn't.
So
it's either online or the local using Joy-Cons.
Yeah, exactly. But I think it's probably the
same as online.
Multiple
Switches,
screens.
Yeah.
You know,
man.
They can hang out with your guys.
Oh.
It's nice, you know?
You could eat together. You could like hang out together.
Yeah.
Oh man.
You can visit
nice.
Each other's houses.
Yeah.
Which is so cool. You hang out, watch TV.
Chop trees.
Yeah.
Oh man.
This all
so
sounding
sick.
Very appealing to you.
You're looking at me, trying to get a reaction out of me.
Because I think Erica's.
Are you curious, Erica?
I think she's about to experience her first Animal Crossing because Mikael asked us to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you.
Yeah, she's playing it.
No, but Ron's playing it.
Ron's
paying for it.
You're
right. Oh gosh! Oh no.
Ron's paying for it.
Wow.
Oh my god.
So,
by the way, Eric, this is Ron's lovely fiancée.
Okay, I wasn't going to reveal that, but yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. So, yeah, and then there's going to be some more updates that are coming for the Switch, too. And what the smart thing that they did, which they didn't do for Pokemon, is, like, I don't know why they didn't do it for Pokemon, is when there are seasonal changes, they're going to drop the patch on the day. So you can't skip ahead to like December 21 and then expect it to be snowing. It's just the same, you know. The in-game events are DLCs, not DLCs, but like, you know, it's updates from the server that you have to download. I think it's smart because you can't
jump ahead.
You can't jump ahead.
You don't like use the internal game clock
cheat,
to
yeah,
cheat.
Yeah.
Nice.
So yeah,
it's nice.
Why did we not buy Fire Emblem? The DLC.
Oh. Because of Animal Crossing?
Yeah,
I don't know.
I think it's like the recent amount of games that have been going on sale and about to release. So
it's getting overwhelming,
yeah.
I guess.
Like, there was a time that my Switch was kind of not playing Pokemon right now. I kind of don't want to play anything else.
Playing Torchlight.
So yeah, that's the thing that we are playing right now.
Torchlight.
We're playing Torchlight
2. Then game resurrected.
I mean, come on. It's like so
it's
cheap.
It's nice. Yeah, it's cheap. And even if it's repetitive, it's dungeon crawling, it's still fun. It has in-game voice chat, sir.
Oh,
holy shoot.
For Helldivers.
What's a Helldivers?
Is it a Diablo knockoff?
Yeah, the Diablo knockoff.
Oh, okay.
There's also Minecraft Dungeons.
It's like Star... what do you call that? Startup Troopers type.
Oh!
What?
Helldivers.
What's a Startup Trooper?
Starship Troopers.
Starship
so you fight demons / aliens,
yeah.
And you have guns.
I think they talked about it gonna be on Switch. I'm not sure if Neve confirmed about it, but it's on PC and PS4.
I played it with like.
Yeah,
did I play it?
It?
I
yeah,
played.
I played
you have a copy.
Yeah, PS4.
We played it.
You played it. And
it's
like
nice.
It.
It's nice. It's hard.
I wish they put POE on Switch, man.
What's a POE?
Path of Exile. That's how you're gonna get Charles to love his Switch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Charles.
Shout out to Charles, the
you
only.
Know, I hope you still like your Switch.
Yeah.
Hope you start liking
your Switch. Whew. So we rambled, like.
On time for the
rambled on.
The most serious topic of it.
Yes.
Everything.
Wait. Switch news are serious stuff.
This is like.
This
is more
this,
serious.
This is a
industry affecting.
Not, I wouldn't say industry.
It's country
it's more of a,
molding.
It's more of a
controversy.
It's the future because it's future of kids and that are gonna do it.
Yep.
Education, and
yeah, we're going to dive into education. So less, you're gonna hear
yeah.
less banter from
and
us.
The
and
the perfect guy to
bit.
Talk about is a former professor.
Of course, yes.
Not a professor. I'm an instructor. I don't have a master's degree to be a professor.
You
want to
get a master's degree?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Okay.
If you got a master's degree, do people call you a master?
No.
They should,
MBA.
Right? They
you
should.
MA.
Yeah, but you should. They should.
MA or MBA.
Then call you master, right?
No.
They
I
should
don't,
call you master.
So you have to call me master.
Yeah, Master Erica.
But she's a doctorate. Are you getting your PhD?
No.
You have plans on getting your PhD? No, okay. That's cool.
Master Erica. Anyway.
So we have here the Tier 1 XLPU eSports curriculum design that was posted by Tier 1. I think Trike teased it
Trike
on February 19 on his Facebook page. The paper... that has been circulating. Well, the front of the paper has been circulating that's saying it's a VS esports.
Yes.
So, there's a lot of reaction to it, some aggressive, some trolls, some, but it got everyone's reaction. Like almost everyone I know is commenting it. It even reached a couple of international friends I have on esports.
Yeah.
It's a big deal.
Because basically it's going to be the first degree in Asia, probably, because I've been searching for degrees offered to it, and the nearest that one has done, while APU offers it, I think theirs is a certificate. APU from Malaysia offers it, but
it's
I think
a certificate.
Certificate.
So it's not a diploma.
Or yeah, or certificate or diploma, but it's not a degree. It's a bachelor's degree, definitely. Informatics in Singapore offers it, but it's also a two-year diploma course.
It's not a okay.
Not a degree. So potentially, from my knowledge, this is the
first
esports degree that might launch. I'm saying might because
still in the works, right?
Set in stone.
It's
not
still in the
set
works.
Set in stone. It's one of my gripes about it. Like, I want there to be an education for esports. I don't mind having a BS esports. I mean, I have a lot of. I wouldn't say problem, but I love a lot of questions. Like, it's very different. Some people have a problem with it.
Yeah.
They don't like it. But for me, it's mostly I have questions about it.
Yeah.
Because it's very vague when you just drop a bond paper that says...
Esports curriculum design.
No, I mean, the first one was when you just drop a bond paper that says...
BS Esports.
BS Esports. So that's... a problem for me. It's vague, it leads to confusion, and I feel like we wouldn't be in the situation we are right now, wherein a lot of people are confused, a lot of people are trying to the track it.
Yeah.
If it was from, I mean, I wouldn't say that Trike is not a reliable source.
Sure.
But
he's
if
a big
it was
guy, right?
if it was from an organization,
small guy in your
that
life.
Was supposedly the one handling it.
Yeah.
So in this case, not tier one, they are the ones who are spearheading it.
Yeah.
Well, they're but the ones that are supposed to be handling it.
Okay, so what if Trike dropped like the entire comprehensive curriculum,
mm.
first year, fourth year, or however many years it takes? What if they dropped the complete thing?
Mm.
Would you have been so?
No, I still would prefer if Lyceum was the one who dropped it.
Okay.
It's those little things.
Mm.
It's a very different when one person declares that there will be a BS Esports to entirely the whole university
mm.
declares
mm.
that we will be offering BS Esports.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very different.
Yes. I read that you have some thoughts about this.
So, again, this is still on paper. They're still doing... I think they haven't even applied for CHED accreditation
yet. And again, it's still an esports curriculum design. So they're just designing the curriculum, like they will make the curriculum based on this design, this track.
Yeah.
So it's not
there.
For
those,
to the,
I know we have a copy of what Tier 1 posted. Basically, they're going to be separated into two tracks,
mm.
the esports management track and the game design development track.
So
we haven't even gotten to the game design development track, which another group of people have a problem with.
I have
another
a problem
industry
with it.
Has a problem with it.
Yeah, Red, go.
Oh, man, I have a problem with it. Because we already have a game design degree in the Philippines.
Actually, development.
The development. But BS in esports. It doesn't mean that all the game developing here that you will like study is for esports. You could design games that are not meant to be esports. What you could even just separate the both tracks, then I'll be fine with it. But making a game design development track be under science in esports, that's the problem. That's the most like most of the game designers having a problem with, because they're saying that you don't make games just for esports.
That's another thing I have a problem in. Again, it's the whole execution.
Okay.
Like the first execution was it wasn't done by the school itself.
Mm.
That was already like a flag.
Yeah.
Second execution was all the updates were done from one side, which was tier one. We have not heard as of recording.
Yes.
We have not heard of anything from LPU
mm.
confirming anything apart
mm.
from pictures of course, Tier 1 or Trike
mm.
being with LPU,
yes.
which is, I'm not going to discredit. I know that they have in contact with LPU.
Mm.
Yes.
Just that it would help
solidify
this curriculum design if LPU were to step up.
Yeah.
That's true. Even if you put like LPU's logo, it doesn't mean that LPU is like full on board, right?
It means that LPU is full
should,
on board.
They should, right?
It means that's why I would want
LPU to be the one breaking
the one
or
break
simultaneously
it.
Break it, right?
Technically, tier one is the one helping. It's tier one's not the one
handling
it. Tier one is
they're not like going.
LPU.
So tier one isn't the one giving the degree. It's LPU.
Yeah,
so LPU should be the one who's like. The captain here, right?
I mean, to be honest here, like you can't expect LPU to just send out, oh, we're going to have an esports degree. It
mm.
has to be from somebody that's from the industry that
mm.
specializes in esports. Which is, like, Trek would be one
no,
of
No, I
those
mean,
guys.
That's why LPU has to be the one to launch it, then shared
mm.
by these people.
Yeah. So the timing is just unfortunate.
It's not timing, it's execution.
Yeah.
The execution is lacking.
Mm.
Then again, you have the curriculum design. The track
mm.
is also lacking, or because game design development track, for years, game developers have tried
mm.
to wrestle their way out of IT and CS.
Yes.
Now that they've been accepted as a
full-on
thing, they just manage in LPU. They just suddenly get lumped together with esports.
Yeah.
So my thing with this is, I think it's a little bit redundant. to have this course.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you think about the things that are included in
the track,
you know, I mean, yeah, in the track, I mean, in the industry esports, right? Because they're saying BS esports, so you're going to directly attack the industry esports, right? What includes what does it mean? Business management,
production
marketing, multimedia,
mm-hmm.
right? So if there's like if those are like two like separate courses, right?
Fine.
So you can use these four and make esports.
Mm.
But if you think about it, do we do that for everything? How about the BPO industry? There's like a lot of different courses that are needed for that. CS, IT, like even the security guards and stuff.
Yeah.
Like management around the building.
Mm.
So can we just take those four and just make BS BPO?
You can't, right?
You can't. That's why there's when we think about the industry esports, there's a lot of special like people that specialize in stuff that gather towards the industry, make the industry more. We don't necessarily need graduates from esports. We can.
Yeah.
What's wrong with what we have right now?
What's wrong with like financial management students graduating and helping esports with their like finance management degree,
right?
The business management or advertising or the marketing.
Mm.
Yeah, exactly. I could see your point.
Yes, like,
I don't mind about it because, for example, I've done my fair share of research about it. There is a BS esports management, esports management
mm-hmm.
in the US,
mm. particularly. I think the most famous one is UC Irvine.
Mm.
So there's
with Pokey.
Pokemon.
Yeah. So there's a lot of stuff that's been done in esports in terms of degree in the West,
mm.
in the US. So I don't mind having a degree.
Mm.
It's just really what's inside the degree.
Yes.
Like if what you're going to be teaching will be really redundant, then yeah, sure. I mean, these are all very vague for me. Like in the esports management track is team manager, owner. These are the potential careers profession, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Team manager, owner, marketing PR executive, community social media manager, sales partnership manager, esports agent, event manager, production broadcasting, marketing manager, marketing researcher. These are fine. It's just that how they were gonna tackle this in a 4-year program is I have questions about.
Mm.
Like I don't have a problem with it. I have questions about it.
Mm.
Like I would love for it to have a degree for esports management.
Mm.
Yeah. Let's just scrub the whole game development track, please.
Mm.
Yeah, like that's the questionable part too. Like is esports, when you think about esports, you think about game development? It's esports.
It's more on
It's always also so hard to make it's already so hard to make a game famous.
Mm.
It's already so hard to make a game famous, that
mm.
especially if you're going indie.
Mm.
What more making a game that's esports?
Because
mm. so flooded, right?
Yeah, because there's a lot of indie games that are also banking on esports, like the grassroots FGC indie games.
Yes, we've seen a lot of those,
but some of them are like most of them doesn't even stick.
And it's been years.
So,
again, just. My opinion, scrap
yeah.
the game development track.
I'm with Scrum.
Make it a full BS esports management.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then
another
thing I have a problem. I'm not in particularly sure what the requirement of CHED is, but from what I heard, so correct me if I'm wrong with this, you need, because basically that's the first hurdle they have, right? After
CHED.
All this, they've executed this and everything.
And LPU
some
more.
They've lacked a little bit there. I mean, it's setbacks.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say that it's a failure right away. The launching was a setback. They didn't use Lyceum.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have these esports curriculum design that they launched graphic, which included GDD, which I feel is a setback again, which made people criticize them more.
Yeah.
Then I feel the next up is going to be the what's inside the curriculum. So the next battle that they could face is probably the CHED, which is our higher education
mm.
yes.
department
yes.
Yeah.
for the Philippines at least.
Sure.
So from what I am understanding is you need people who are masters level
yeah.
to teach.
Yes.
I mean, that's easy. They could not, I mean, not it's saying easy, but that's doable in a sense wherein people who are interested to teach
mm.
could learn from Tier 1. I mean, this is what I am trying to understand with their
setup.
Partnership.
Okay.
They could be the mat already, for example, broadcasting teachers or mass comm teachers in LPU will learn from Tier 1 and basically be able to teach it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something, right? Because most of these that they will be teaching anyway is theoretical. Unless they need technical, then that's where, like on the higher years of the program, for example, third and fourth year, where things normally start to get technical.
Yeah.
Like for example, in programming, first year, second year, there's a lot of basics and theoretical.
Yeah.
But third year and fourth year, you get like data structures
yep.
and databases. You get like
hands-on
hands-on stuff.
Yeah.
So that's where the problem will lie.
Yeah.
For them, they will need people with masters. Who have
the guys from the industry to
from the industry to actually
mm.
teach. Well, that's gonna be their problem
yeah.
in the future.
We also have to look at it. Like you're saying, like the third and fourth year are the most, like they need the guys from the industry. Do we have guys from the industry that are willing to take time off of their jobs? Remember, esports in Philippines is very shaky.
Mm.
It's
a 24/7
you know,
thing most of the
right?
time.
It's not like solid.
It's not like a 9-to-5 job
yeah,
that you could rely on.
It's not like a part-time job. Like, oh, I make enough money from my part-time. I can take a teaching gig.
Mm.
You know, and you also have to think about the personality.
Because
it's one thing that you're part of the industry. Can you teach?
Mm.
You know, like, think of the higher guys. I'm not going to name any names, but think of the higher guys.
Mm.
They're all so busy.
Mm.
And I think they would still take time to, you know, develop the things here. But not a lot of them can effectively teach. You know, we never know, but there still has to be a certain personality for it.
You still also need training to teach.
Mm.
Yes.
So.
That's another thing, because in college, you have to have a master's, right?
Mm.
But our guys, I'm not sure if any of them have master's.
And another thing that you have to, that Ched will probably require, from my knowledge, are books.
Okay, who, yeah, nobody
there is
has written.
No esports related books.
Well, there is, like, shout out to Red Eye's book.
I mean, that's
hey.
It's more like
a yeah,
yeah,
that's true.
The thing is, there's no esports books on how to set up. For example, there's levels in broadcasting. For example, in an online tournament, you have like XSplit, OBS, and everything.
Mm.
There's no book that is that
Sentence.
Has been published
yeah, exactly.
to do. That kind of
because the knowledge is all in here.
Experience
by experience.
Knowledge has been experience from people who have done it.
Mm.
And that's something for that Ched will probably require. For example, sales partnership. Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah.
You can probably get accounting
like the business
books.
Yeah,
business
exactly.
books.
The marketing books, like a lot of this.
Marketing books will be there.
But
agents
where,
books
yeah.
will be there as well. They can source it from outside,
the, like the in the like outside the esports,
yeah.
right?
The problem will be the main bulk of an esports management as well will be the broadcasting.
Yes.
I mean, you could probably source it from film and TV,
mm-hmm.
but
it's
I'm not sure.
Different.
It's
mm.
different.
Yeah.
I mean,
you will probably need to. Yeah, you can probably source it from film and TV,
mm-hmm.
but take parts of it and make something. Else out
yeah.
of it,
make it more esports, you know.
Yeah.
So.
And that's where Tier 1 comes in, right?
Mm-hmm.
Make it esports.
Yeah.
Hopefully, that will be their responsibility because they are still one of the top organizations in the Philippines. They have made it this far,
mm-hmm.
so I think they have the capability to make it happen. Just please
the execution.
The execution has been really, really lacking.
Because they're now like they're tackling something that's like going to shake.
From step one, a personal fan page or a CEO's fan page, not even fan page, a CEO's personal page
mm-hmm.
was the one to declare it first.
Yeah.
Mm. So I think for like the industry and for like being professional and to recognize this as a professional degree, maybe like execute it with professionalism rather than using popularity, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was the wording is a professional. Trike worded it very well.
No, it's not about the wording.
Yeah, I mean, he worded it very well in his very lengthy post. Like, I won't say it's very professional, but it's respectable. Like, he didn't have any problem. I didn't sense animosity or anything from his post. But it was really, really supposedly, the ball was supposedly on
and
the
I see,
universities.
You know, LPU's marketing team should have, like, picked this up.
Yes.
Then market it, because it's going to be a prospective course in their university, so that would like earn them students, and they should like protect that image, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like they could go and be educated with esports, so they should have like they should be the ones who's marketing it.
So next up, we've tackled the basically the CHED, right? The books, the masters.
Yeah.
What are the other
so the education
so
side.
You have another thing will be jobs. Are there enough jobs for these students?
I mean, the guy.
Because every year, let's say you have one batch. How let's say you have one class that's gonna graduate because it's a pioneer,
mm-hmm.
which is like 40 students. You have 40 students every year coming out looking for work.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's the thing, right? This is a pretty broad. Course. It has multimedia, it has
business,
it has like maybe financial, I don't know what the curriculum is, but if you think about esports, there are jobs there. This is going to be for back-end stuff, right? When you think about the esports course,
as our
a little bit of a technical difficulty.
Yeah, it's okay.
Okay, we're cool. That's cool. Can you check Audacity, please?
I just slept.
Well, it's so scary, man. This new format is so scary. It's so exciting.
So, like, if you think about the industry of esports, there's a lot of multimedia. Well, the media can be anything. You know, they can go out and get their jobs just as easy. I'm like, the thing is that I have, and I posted this on Twitter, is you graduated BS esports from Lyceum. What is, like, that's not going to sound attractive over somebody that graduated multimedia arts from
LaSalle or
Papua CSP. I mean, those are the heavy hitters, and even maybe I don't know if like the not so specialized universities have it, like USD, if they have multimedia arts. But graduating BS esports already gives you a disadvantage if you're trying to get a job outside of the esports industry. You know.
Okay. I'll give a scenario. In and out of esports, you're going to apply. Index, you have a BS in esports degree,
yes.
And you're applying for like a marketing manager.
Sure.
I am
for an
esports company first, right? I am a marketing management graduate as well, but I graduated from UP.
Mm-hmm.
Who would you take? For your marketing manager position.
I mean, we're using the power of schools now. That's very subjective because we can't really change anything. This is LPU.
But
they will be the one doing in this course. So it doesn't really matter if you fight it with UP and UP, LaSalle, or Ateneo.
Yeah.
The whole problem is, for example, the better comparison will be a marketing graduate of LPU versus an esports graduate of LPU.
That's a better
comparison.
Yeah.
If both apply as a marketing manager for an esports company,
will
you take the marketing management that has for 4 years only studied
marketing
over an esports graduate?
That's actually a compelling argument because I'm leaning a little bit towards the, if it's just all black and white,
all marketing?
No. It was all like black and white.
Esports
Esports and what I mean, marketing.
Marketing, yeah.
We get marketing, right? But we have to color this in. You know, context matters. The Philippine esports scene will see, like, if you don't hire the esports guy, it will look like a failure. If it's an esports industry, bias will happen. You know, we don't want our students to fail.
Mm.
So we're just going to go get them.
So get the esports one.
I mean, for example, not under tier one. For example, other esports companies like Mineski.
Still, it's the same thing. Because if you don't support your own curriculum, it's gonna die, and you're all just gonna look like failures.
Mm.
Right? There is some bias, like whether we like it or not. You know, if they're the same, if they're both fresh grads, you have to think that the esports guys are gonna get the esports graduates.
And then again, going to the non-esports companies, that's where the disadvantage happens.
That's exactly what I was saying.
You will get most of the times, you will get the marketing management student.
It's kind of like hit or miss. If you miss completely, because the person reading your CV could be a boomer or could be like 25, like the same age as you. Like
and I mean, if you have marketing manager as a track in esports management, right?
Yeah.
Then you have another course as marketing management. I think the marketing management side has more experience and more specialized in marketing.
That's what I'm
trying
to say. Will you get someone who's been studying marketing for whole 4 years?
For his whole life? Or
No, 4 years.
I mean, his whole academic life.
4 years. Will you get someone who's been studying marketing for the whole 4 years? Or will you get the BS eSport?
The same thing with any of the branches, like multimedia. I'm thinking. Like any administrative role.
I mean, we're all speaking theoretically here.
Yeah.
We're not setting anything in stone. These are all questions. We don't have a problem with it. We have questions.
Yes. And like, I'm just gonna like put out the elephant in the room. Nobody wants this thing to fail.
Yes, definitely.
Nobody wants this to fail. We want this to thrive, and we want.
That's why we're like critical of it, because
yes.
we want it to succeed.
Yes. Exactly.
We want it done right.
Like all of the people that are saying that it you're doing this wrong, they're not saying that it's like we want this thing to fail.
Yeah, this isn't crab mentality.
Yes.
Right. This is something we're hoping that it.
Well, there are some that I.
Yeah, there are just some
very.
I don't know about them,
I've
dude.
Read some comments.
Yeah,
I've
read some stuff. Man, these are just questions that are like theoretical questions. So,
yes.
What would happen?
Because. Because everybody wants it.
Yeah, we would love to be proven wrong.
Yes.
There are definitely going to be skeptics. We're all just skeptical here. And it's largely because of our state right now. We're very uninformed on what the thing is going to happen.
So now that we've talked about that as well, like Mark, the comparison between graduates, is there enough positions available to be filled?
For esports or non-esports?
Esports.
Here,
yes.
Maybe they could like use this as an international they could apply international companies.
But
they could use
Lyceum
this as a platform.
Have that much power? I'm not trying to discredit Lyceum, but they're not the big four. The big four is UST, La Salle,
but they are the first ones who's going to introduce an esports degree here in the Philippines and in Asia, and that's a big thing.
In Asia, probably.
Yeah.
We can probably,
In Asia, probably, but it's not going to be that big for West. In Southeast Asia, actually, I'm even going to lower it down, bar. In Southeast Asia, probably. But the problem will there be...
Jobs
for esports.
Yeah.
We already talked about the job. I really talked about if they're applying for the same job.
Yeah.
Now, will there be enough of those jobs?
Yeah, C-Sport doesn't have a lot of money, so we can't hire anybody.
Well,
even us, we're
the first.
Out.
The most important.
We have Joe for our business dev.
Yeah.
So the problem is like we're already tapped out for these things.
We're good.
Yeah, we're good.
We're good.
For a small. Media group.
Yeah,
and
they already have an intern. I'm an intern, so.
Wait,
the most important thing here is they need esport to thrive.
Yeah, so
they need esport to be an institution. Like, there should be a sure thing that every year there's an esport something going on.
Yeah.
I mean, there's always going to be an esport something going on, but these. Most of these esports something have contractual stuff.
Yeah.
No,
oh,
the contractual
yeah.
jobs.
Yes.
We're talking about
like regular
jobs. These esports events hire people. They do provide jobs, but they're contractual.
Mm.
If you think about it, like is there an org that offers like SSS?
Yeah. Tier one is offering
that.
Like
Tier one.
Mineski, I think.
Daron Garayat, Mineski, and RR for the most part for the internal structure.
Yeah.
They have HR and finance.
They should have.
For their
marketing, for HR, they should have for those.
Yeah.
So the problem will be
every year there's an influx of people.
Yeah, the problem is every year this, it's not like these people are gonna quit.
Yeah.
So every year you have 40, again, let's just say it's just one class every year.
Yeah.
Until like the fifth year when it finally booms. One class every year, 40 students that will apply for esports job.
Yeah.
Will there be jobs for them for esports only?
Yeah.
That's not contractual.
I mean, like obviously you want to go into the esports curriculum to work for esports.
Yeah.
You don't go there to work for multimedia.
That's just
a branch, you know.
That's what I'm trying to ask. Will there be jobs
and
for them?
If you have to think about it,
we're not saying that they're gonna die or they're gonna be jobless for life. I mean, they could apply. Yeah, again, the argument of some people is they could apply for other jobs. That's
what I've
been hearing or reading.
Yeah.
That doesn't matter. The question will be: is their graduate of BS Esports? Yes, they will be able. It's not like they're gonna be jobless.
Yeah,
they could still find jobs.
We're not saying they're gonna be jobless. The question will be, will they have a job on the degree that they graduated with?
Yeah.
But that's the same problem here in our country. That's the same problem with like non-esports courses.
Yeah.
Because, like, I'm sorry, I'm going to, like, on a personal note, I'm a graduate of a business administration major in legal management. But I fucking work at a bank.
But not like you're lying.
Like,
you can still work your line in bank, but not your line, right?
Yeah. So that's the problem here.
Yeah, that's why we don't want that problem. We're trying to ask, like, will they have enough jobs? Like,
I think that's
having 2 out of 40 get
esports jobs,
that's
and the rest would get BPOs.
Obviously, okay, we're just gonna like say it right now. With the big four that we have, and with, you know, like
the courses,
like people are gonna be, I think, generally happy if you're working for esports org, obviously, because they're like, esports, I do games and stuff. They're probably not gonna leave, you know. Maybe 1, 2, 3, 4 people are gonna leave a year. There's 40 slots. That's one thing to be part of the 4 people that just left for the company. Like, I honestly, year in, year out, probably, I don't know. I don't think there's gonna be enough for esports specific jobs.
That's why, and I'm being generous with 40. There's a high chance it could be more than 40.
Because like it's also such an attractive name.
Yeah.
For
esports. Bachelor of Science.
There's a lot of students that I've seen that are clamoring for it.
Mm.
Yeah.
But would your parents be on board?
That's
like
a big deal.
That's already subjective. That's very subjective already.
Mm.
Because it depends on depends from person to person,
family,
depends on how they're raised,
yeah.
Depends on their family. So I don't think that where it's credible enough to
that's true
to be tackled
right.
into. So that's basically the last one. So again, I mean, yes or no, will there be enough jobs for
esports specifically?
Esports specifically, because again,
in
the Philippines,
no,
Red,
no,
me. For now, no. That's why.
And that's the word, for now.
For now, no.
We are hoping, we are optimistic that would change.
I do hope they still launch it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a problem. These pioneers will be basically
guinea pigs, yeah.
I do hope they still launch it, but I do hope they test it out as a short course first.
We need to satisfy it, like, the supply that we have, we need to be like, you know, big television company.
What I want right now is a short course. Short course basically entails that the people who are working right now in esports and they feel that they are lacking can up their game.
That's kind of a good thing too, because you're not like saying we are going to be esports, we're going to be a big course. You know, maybe take it baby steps. Maybe a smaller course.
That's why a short course would be ideal. For example, you have someone that you hired as a marketing.
Mm-hmm.
Or let's do something else. Broadcasting. The one handles cameras, everything stream, or the one that makes graphics and everything.
Mm.
Basically, overlays. Overlays are pretty new for multimedia as well. So you have those things.
Yeah.
Then you see a short course that says that we're going to teach you how to properly make a stream, like a content for stream or overlays or basically the whole production for
Bro,
a...
This sounds like a Tesla thing. You could probably put this in Tesla.
Yes, that's what I said on, I think, Kat's post as well.
Yeah.
That it's more of a short course, a Tesla.
Certification.
I could 100% get on...
That could work.
That
could even...
Yeah.
That's even viable. That's like more viable than... providing a four-year program for 40 students.
Yeah. Is it a technical
skill?
Yeah,
it's a skill. It's a vocational thing, and you could do it. Everybody can do it.
If I want to be more proficient for it, I could just take a course.
Yeah, that's why if you're already a degree holder and you just want to up your game because there's a new thing that's kind of sort of similar to what you graduated with but has new stuff on it,
like esports, specifically
stuff,
esports,
like streams and everything.
Yeah.
Then you're like, yeah, sure, I'll take it.
I'm
I'll take that
so
short.
Down.
Like a course for esports marketing, like
and
that.
And it's nothing new. You have people that, for example, before, like this was like I used to teach Photoshop on a theoretical and tool level. I'm not the most creative person. I used to teach Photoshop, basically Adobe stuff. So Photoshop before was new. Not a lot of people heard it. So you have like people who are graphic designers or stuff that want to learn Photoshop or wasn't offered before on their school. Basically, these are 30-year-olds, 35-year-olds before that, okay, I want to learn Photoshop because apparently it's going to be
a new
needed.
Thing, yeah.
Or before like when HTML5 came out and I'm like, people are like, okay, I want to learn HTML5. I want to learn HTML5. It's new. It's something that I want. So then you make a short course out of it, basically teaching them HTML5.
Yeah,
that's something that can be done in esports. It beats again. Okay, so where it beats all the underlying hurdles that they will go through with CHED, because short courses does not have to go through
to
CHED.
Yeah.
Yep.
So they will beat the book requirement for if they're lacking on reference books about esports, and they will beat the master's requirement as well. You don't need a master's to be an instructor, not a professor, but an instructor. So you have that.
You could also say it could beat the last one you said, the jobs.
Yeah, the bubble as well that will come, the influx of students. Because basically, for this one, it's not a degree. You
this,
have
like, people,
existing
people have not poured 4 years into this into just like not getting into the industry.
It's basically like, let's say, 120 hours of training. So you have people that already graduated right now but would want to learn
camera work. Yeah.
And you can even set requirements because PCCI, where I learned, where I trained, so shout out to PCCI.
Hey.
Yeah, they're the Philippine Center for Creative Imaging. That's where I learned Adobe. They're an Adobe certified training facility. So I learned there that there are stuff as well that, you, for example, you want to learn their advanced Photoshop. You need to finish their basic Photoshop, or at least have a credible portfolio that could pass as advanced level. So there's levels to it, see? It's not something that will stop at, okay, I'm trained.
You can continuously learn. Improve.
It's not as fancy as a degree.
Yeah.
Definitely. But if you just want to grow the industry,
and
you just really want competent, professional,
which is I think what they
were banking
for.
Yeah, they're gunning for, and they want those, then I think short course has all the available options.
I agree,
because they want to legitimize esports, right?
They're saying that they need skilled workers now,
because there's a lot of skilled workers now.
It's like, also you need skilled workers now, you also have to work, you also have to wait the accepting period, you know, the period that it has to be a legitimate course, and also the 4 years that it takes for students to graduate at top.
That's a long time, right?
Like
just get it
course.
Right now, right?
Yeah. You want it now? Here's a solution. I think that's a fantastic idea. I'm glad that we actually got into a solution within the show.
Yeah.
You know, All right, so we kind of talked all about the curriculum thing yet, unless you guys had any closing remarks about this thing.
No.
We closed it.
Just, yeah. We talked about it enough again.
Yeah. Right, Red?
Well, good. We just want it to succeed.
Yes.
Because it's,
yeah,
now on a... It's now on a, like... It's now balls deep.
Yeah, again, for those...
They put it out.
In,
so.
We don't have a problem with it. We have questions about it.
Yes.
So we've come to some answers of our own to our own questions while discussing
mm.
it. But again, this is not our thing.
Mm-hmm.
So despite our suggestions, this is a Tier 1 and LPU thing.
Mm.
And hopefully they find a ground we're in.
Everything,
I
want to say
people
happy.
Are happy,
yeah.
But we're in... It doesn't really... feel like it's compromising, like it's really is a degree that will benefit everyone.
All right, I think that's it. I think we talked our asses off of the,
yeah,
the topic already, and I think that's also the end of the podcast.
Hey,
we talked a little bit today. I don't know how long, probably an hour and a half of just pure talking.
Well, you want to know?
I want to know.
Let's see.
Click it. It is an hour and a half.
Ooh.
Like an hour 26.
Your internal clock is on point.
I just kind of like, I know how the feel goes, you know. And I think this new audio setup also is kind of, it's not the perfect one. I mean, we're on a nice ground in there holding our mics right now.
Yeah.
I'm going to get some stands next week. So
yeah.
We can,
and I'm also scared,
yes,
that I could, like, when I speak,
yes,
the mic would pick up your voice.
I'm scared of you because this is a cardioid.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's why. That's why I'm scared.
I don't think there's gonna be that big of a delay.
It's. I think it's okay because it's all in sync.
It's all in the same.
Same hole.
Yeah.
That's what she said.
All right, guys. So I think that's gonna be it for our show for this week. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for choosing the C-Sport Media Group podcast called Nerd Stuff. We will see you next week. But until then, this has been Index.
This is Redron.
And this is Kron.
Thank you so much. Goodbye, friends.
Bye.